I was so excited about doing this message that I almost started it without turning the recorders on. We're going to the Gospel of Matthew, Katamathion. I'm not going to read it to you in Greek, but I'm going to comment on it from the original languages in several places. This message is kind of an answer to Alan Witherell's, or Dr. Alan Witherell, in Bakersfield, California. He asked me this question a few weeks ago, and I'm going to answer it tonight in these verses. I knew I was coming to this, so I don't have time to do a lot of it online as far as texting and emailing, but here we go. The Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew was written by Matthew, which was a tax collector. He was called Matthew Levi. Matthew means a gift of God. And it's written between 50 and 70 A.D. Now, in this message, we're going to show that Jesus is the legal heir. He's a legal heir to the throne of Israel from Matthew or Luke, either one. Luke is basically Mary's genealogy, and Matthew is Joseph's genealogy. Joseph was probably adopted by Mary's father, Eli, and that's why it says the son of Eli, because he was adopted by him. Now, Jesus was not the DNA progeny of Joseph, but he was the legal heir because he was adopted as his son. He recognized him as his son, so therefore he was the legal heir also. Now, we're going to be reading a lot of genealogy here, and on both genealogies, many of the generations are left out. It's not because it wasn't inspired, but because they left it out on purpose. They didn't want to do all of the generation, but the ones that were important in there. Many of the really bad kings are left out altogether in both of these. Now, we're going to go read this. It says, "The Book of Genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Now, it goes back here to Abraham. Luke goes all the way back to Adam. But like I said, that not every generation is there. To Abraham was born Isaac. To Isaac, Jacob. And to Jacob, Judah and his brothers. Here is the lion of the tribe of Judah. In the book of Genesis and the 48th, 49th, and 50th chapters there, we have a prophecy that the scepter would not depart from between Judah's knees until Shiloh comes or Messiah comes. And Jesus is that Messiah. Many of the Jews today deny that Jesus was the legal heir of David because of this genealogy right here. Because it goes to a person that was cursed, and we'll get to him in a few moments. But regardless, one of his grandsons did sit on a throne. And to Judah was born Perez and Zerah. Now, Perez and Zerah were Judah's sons, but his son's wife, one of them married this. He went out and picked a beautiful woman, Tamar. Her name means palm tree. Palm, beautiful palm tree. And her husband died. God killed him, and then God killed the next one of his sons because he was married to a Canaanite anyway. So God is going to use this woman's womb to bring forth Jesus. And she pretends to be a prostitute, a temple prostitute, because Judah was kind of promiscuous for a patriarch. And he paid her, or was going to pay her, to have a sexual relationship with her, and he did. He was going to have her killed also, but she asked for security for from him that he would pay her, and he gave her his signet ring, his belt, and his staff. And when he was going to have her burned to death, he was going to burn her to death, she said, "Who do you do this with?" The man that had this staff and this belt and this signet ring. He said, "You're more righteous than I am," which she was. Now, he never had relationship with her again after she had these children. But through these children will come the heir. The heir. To Perez was born Hezron, and Hezron Ram. And to Ram was born Amminadab, and to Amminadab was born Nahshon. And to Nahshon was born Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab. Here we have another a Canaanite basically included in the genealogy of Jesus, Rahab. Rahab the harlot. Go back to Joshua, the second chapter in 1457 B.C. And Boaz was born Obed by Ruth. Ruth, again, here we have another Canaanite. Not only do we have two Canaanites here, one of them was a prostitute, and that was Rahab. Obed by Ruth, and Obed is Jesse. And to Jesse was born David the king. And to David was born Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. That's Bathsheba. And to Solomon was born Rehoboam. And to Rehoboam was born Abijah, and to Abijah was born Asaph. Or Asaph. And to Asaph or Asa was born Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat was born Joram, and to Joram was born Uzziah. And to Uzziah was born Jatham, and Jatham Ahaz, and to Ahaz Hezekiah. And to Hezekiah was born Manasseh, and Manasseh Ammon, and Ammon was born Josiah, good King Josiah. And then he had a bad boy. A bad boy. And to Josiah was born Jeconiah, or Kaniah, in some different translations. And in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 22, 28 through 30, it tells about Jeconiah. Jeconiah had the Bible read. Now, this is why he became cursed. He had the Bible read, and then he burned every page of it. He had it read to him, and then he burned every page as he read it. And he was cursed. But his grandson did sit on a throne. And Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, to Jeconiah was born Shealtiel, and to Shealtiel Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel did reign. The curse evidently had dropped. They expected it to drop by then. But this is the curse line, by the way. And to Zerubbabel born Abib, and to Abib Eliakim, and Eliakim Azor. And to Azor was born Zadok, and to Zadok was born Akim, and to Akim Eliud. And the Eliud born was Eliezer. Remember what Eliezer means? Eliezer means God helps. The shortened form of that is Lazarus. Lazarus means helpless. Eliezer means God helps. And to Eliezer was born Mathan. And to Mathan, Jacob. And to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. There it is. There's your genealogy. It's greatly shortened. I'm telling you that. They don't agree either. These two genealogies don't agree, this one and in Luke, the third chapter, because Luke is a different genealogy. That's through Mary's father, Eli. Now, Mary's mother could have been a Levite, and her father was a lion of the tribe of Judah. He was from Judah. And therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David to the deportation of Babylon, 14 generations. From the deportation of Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. The 14 generations that they show. And now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, now they would go sometimes, a father and mother would go and betroth their baby daughter to somebody that was very important, and they would get a price for her and all of this, and then she would have a dowry, and it was a long drawn out legal thing. Now, Mary could have been betrothed to Joseph when she was a week old, or 2 months old, or 6 months old, or a year old, or 12 years old. Doesn't matter. She probably was around 15 when she had Jesus, somewhere around 15 years old, as far as I can tell. And Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, and by the way, 15 years old back then was, if a woman didn't get married by the time she was 16, she was an old maid. They considered her old. So that wasn't robbing the cradle, as you might think, because Joseph was probably 40 years old or more. Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the blood in his veins were from God. It was deity, divine blood. Every one of us that are born, we come from the blood of our father, which has the infection of sin in it. Your mother may be a horrible person, and your father might be a nice person, or your mother might be the nice person and your father a horrible person, but the deadly infection of sin comes to the father. You can trace that medically too. That's a fact. And to Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. He didn't want to marry a woman with carrying somebody else's child, you know, but he was a nice guy. He was going to put her away secretly. She could have been stoned or burned. When they burn somebody, you know what stoning is. You take them out and you stone them until they're dead. Yeah, burning one, they take a wick with some type of petroleum product and stick it down the woman's throat, choking her to death, and then light it on fire, and they would hold her out over a cesspool with ropes on her until she died, and then they'd cut the ropes and she'd drop in the cesspool. And the same thing with stoning later on. They did not bury these people. They put them in the cesspool, in the dunghill. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And this angel is who, usually? Gabriel. And Joseph, son of David, not to be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That which is begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Joseph? No. He should have been called Joseph, but that wasn't his name. His name was called Jehovah Saves. Jesus. Or Yahshua. Yahshua is what it was in Hebrew. Yahshua, which means Jehovah Saves. And John 1:14, it says, Kai ho logo sark againito, and the word or the Jehovah, fleshy became and dwelt us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is the person right here. You shall call his name Jesus, Jehovah saves, for it is he who shall save his people from their sins. 1 John 2:2 said he is a propitiation, the atonement for our sins, the mercy seat for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. Now all of this took place that was spoken of through the prophet that might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin. Now, in Isaiah 7:14, it doesn't say a virgin. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It says a sexually mature woman. Because that woman would bring forth a child, and that was a dual prophecy. Well, when it came here to this time, they had looked upon that prophecy already happened, like in the Old Testament. But now, when they interpreted this in the New Testament, they used a Greek word, parthenos. 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 Parthenos means virgin. In the Hebrew, it was alma was the word. Now, when Gesenius wrote his analytical or his lexicon, and he wrote that down because it was the truth and it was factual, they just absolutely had a wall-eyed Calypsian fit because he said the word alma means sexually mature woman. It doesn't mean virgin. The word for virgin is Bethula in Hebrew. That is a woman that has been watched and kept in her father's house, and she's certified a virgin. The word alma is not. But when it came down to this period of time, the Jews had a hope that a virgin would conceive, a real virgin would conceive, and in the Hebrew, or in the Greek, it means virgin, parthenos. And they shall call his name God with us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us, which translated means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep. Now, here we have, and I've been doing a set of series. It's been a while since I've done any of these, but dreams, visions, and hypnosis in the Bible. And here's one of them right here, a dream. When God hypnotizes you in your sleep and shows you things like he did John, or like he did Joseph here, or like he did Nebuchadnezzar or Pharaoh, these dreams are real messages of God. Now, God's not using them today because we got the Bible. A lot of times we dream about things, and a lot of it is very heavenly and very spiritual. But it's not like these here. These were inspired dreams. God interceded. And the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. She was a virgin when she had this child. She was a virgin when she had this child. Let's go on just a little bit further now. In Matthew, the second chapter, because this is the rest of the story. And now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the Magi. These Magi are magistrates. They are kings. And we don't know how many there were. They brought three different kinds of gifts. But they were, how many Magi, how many kings came, we don't know. It doesn't say there's three of them. But because of the three gifts, some people say they were three magi, but it is plural. And there was at least three of them, maybe 30 or whatever, I don't know. Neither does anybody else. I can console myself in my ignorance. And Herod the king, behold, the magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying. Now they went to Herod, and here the old devil, when Jesus is going to be born. Genesis 3:15 says a woman shall bring forth a seed, and the seed will be the Son of God. It will be Jehovah. When Eve conceived and she brought forth a child, she said, "Look, Jehovah." She believed that he was the Messiah. The seed of the woman is going to be the Messiah, but she thought it was going to be her seed. But that seed became what? Remember Abel and Cain? That Cain, Cain means gotten. I have gotten a man, even Jehovah, is what she said in the Hebrew. So now, when Jesus is born into this world, the Satan is on his trail to try to kill him. Because this is the Messiah. This is one is going to Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 and many, many other places in the Old Testament prophecies of him. for we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard it, he was troubled. Now this is the bad boy. Old Herod the king is a real bad boy. This is the one that Anthony and Cleopatra put on the throne of Israel. Joseph should have been on that throne, his father Eli. But now, Anthony and Cleopatra, they put Herod on there. And Herod is a descendant of Esau. His wife was a Jew, but he was a descendant of Esau. He was an Edomite. And he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. Everybody's wanting to know what all these people, this is a big caravan, and these are rich people. Rich. How many kings, we do not know. But they're bringing precious cargo as a gift to this king. And since Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, then he should have been born there. But that's not what the Bible says. And gathering together all the chief priests and scribes and the people, they kept on inquiring of them, or he kept on inquiring of them, where the Christ was to be born. They realized the Christ is going to be born. Where is the Messiah going to be born? From the very time Jesus was born, the Jews knew he was the Messiah. And they said to him, Bethlehem in Judea, for it is written by the prophet, Zechariah 9:9, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who shall shepherd his people, or my people Israel. And Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from what time the star had appeared. What time? When was this kid born? He's doing an investigation here because he's going to kill him. Now, Satan put this scoundrel on the throne, and Satan's going to try to use him to kill Jesus. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child, and when you have found him, report to me that I too may come and worship him. That was a lie. It sounded like our present Washington, D.C. leader. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. He's lying. There have been some bad leaders in the history of the world. And we've been too closely associated with some of them. Even to the present tense. And having heard the king, they went on their way. And lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them. And it came and stood over the place where the child was born. Or literally, where the child kept on being. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceeding with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child. Now this child, he's not in the manger anymore. He's not in a barn anymore. This was a cave where they would take the animals. Where he was born was a cave where they took the animals to his shelter when they had storms. And that's where Jesus was born, in this shelter, in this cave, where they took their animals to protect them. Now he's in a house. And with Mary's mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold and frankincense. The gold is very precious. That's kind of, the kings like a lot of gold. Just kind of like presidents, you know, they like a lot of gold. Sometimes they get it in wrong ways. And frankincense, that's real fancy perfume and spices. And then myrrh. Myrrh there is opium. Now, why in the world would they give Jesus opium? Well, when you go back down to Jacob, when Jacob went into Egypt and took gifts to Joseph in Egypt and to Pharaoh, one of them was opium. Opium was a good medicine back then. If you had tuberculosis, if you had stomach and intestinal problems of all sorts, this is what they gave. If you had colds and flu, emphysema or whatever, opium was what they used, and they put opium and they dispensed it with alcohol. Doc Holliday used opium with alcohol because he had tuberculosis. It would kill your cough. Codeine, cough medicine with codeine in it, that's opium. A derivative of opium. Because it helps you. And this is a royal medicine. It's not something to get all doped up on. It's royal medicine. And having been warned of God in a dream and not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Joseph means increase. It means he will always succeed. He's unstoppable. That's what Joseph means. In a dream, saying, here's another dream now. Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. And remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. And of course, now we have the murder of the slaying of the innocents. That reminds me of abortion. The slaying of the innocents. What's the difference? What Herod did, except Herod only killed probably between 20 and 100 children. Abortion kills hundreds every day. And they are real human beings. And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And there he was until the death of Herod. And that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, to be fulfilled, out of Egypt did I call my son. In Hosea 11:1. Now, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged. And he sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all the area around it from 2 years old and under, according to the time which was ascertained from the Magi. That which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah 31 verse 15. Saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. They were no more. What a story, huh? We'll start right there in verse number 19 in our next message. I hope you've learned something from this. I hope it's touched your heart with how much God loved you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a story of love. What a love story. Our Father, we send this message out throughout the world. It is the gospel here. This is part of it. This is the very beginning of that gospel. Father, please use it to touch people's lives and to strengthen them in Your Word. And let them know what they believe and why they believe it. There's so many churches in the land today that don't preach the Bible. I pray that You touch those people's lives. Father, as You know, I have many of them call me, talk to me, and say, You're my pastor, because I'm not pastored where I am. I get no Bible. Father, You've left me in this world to do this, and I pray that You help me do it. Through strokes and sickness and sometimes health, You've given me the ability to do this. And I ask You to continue as long as You wish to use me. Please forgive me where I failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.